Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Some of the tweets. I'm happy to say that, in fact, the president has never asked me to do anything in a criminal case.
And then he's tweeting, and so Barr gets the message. What's so frustrating here is that the president could just pardon Roger Stone, but instead he's chosen to show all of us that he's got others who will do his hits for him, and he's injected this virus of corruption.
All right, so that's the U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell, who is giving you the Democratic point of view of what is going on with the tweets and Donald Trump. And then before that, you heard the Attorney General talk about tweeting. This has become one of the big stories, of course, throughout this administration. And lately, there's been a lot of tweets about Roger Stone. So Swalwell says that why is he doing this? Why doesn't he just pardon him? And I think ultimately it could end up in a situation where the president does, in fact, pardon Roger Stone. Next week is the sentencing of Stone, who is expected to get less than 7 to 9 years that was originally thrown out there, and then four prosecutors quit. Just another day in the neighborhood. I don't have a cardigan on, and I'm not going to sing a song, but it is just another day here in these United States. So I think the big story on the day, if we're looking at politics, is Barr talking to ABC News, saying that the White House doesn't tell him, he's not having discussions about what's going on. He has said to the president, stop the tweets, and the president has said he's entitled to his opinion, but they're not going to stop. That's not going to stop. That's what they're going to deal with. As long as he's the Attorney General, or as long as anybody else is in D.C., they'll respond that way, because this is how the press, chooses communicate. Stay tuned for Stonegate next week. What's the sentence, and then what's the reaction to that? Michael Bloomberg now suddenly rising in the polls. Some people are saying, who? That guy from New York? That billionaire? That whole Bloomberg deal? What's up with that? Well, what's up with that is he's always had those political aspirations, and of course, he moved mountains to get three terms as the mayor in New York City. Joe Biden is slipping in the polls, but next week we're talking about South Carolina, so the march is on. Super Tuesday will be big, and Super Tuesday, so much focus will be on all the Democratic candidates, because Trump has bagged this, of course, in trying to be reelected. So what's the scoop on Bloomberg? Well, he's facing some aggressive scrutiny from a lot of media people and also other campaigns, because naturally he's in the thick of this, so that's what the deal is. There was an audio tape of some controversial statements he made, Aspen Institute comments he made, ending the New York City Police Department's aggressive stop and frisk searches, where he said cops across the country could use a Xerox description of minorities to identify suspected murderers. And then there were a few other things that he said as well that have had a little bit of blowback for him over the years, and that starts to come up, because whatever you've said, we live in the era of, you said it, it's out there, we got it, and we're going to be quoting it, because that has taken down a few people. In 2010, they weren't prepared for the blizzard that smashed the city of New York, 27 inches of snow. I remember it well. And there were reports that the city rushed back from Bermuda, and other top deputies were out of town. The sanitation department didn't declare a snow emergency. Parts of the city were buried for days, and that was a huge hit against Bloomberg and his administration. And I mentioned that he had three terms So he was for term limits before he was against them. And he manipulated the city council to undo term limits that allowed him to run for mayor for a third time. So that shows you manipulation on the part of Bloomberg. In the end, will the Democrats put Bloomberg in as their nominee against a president who just hit 61% in a Gallup poll of were people happy with the way the economy is since the president's been in office? And 61% is a very, very, very big number. So while the Roger Stone-isms fly around and the conversation will continue through the weekend and into the beginning of next week, looking at polls and rallies and what the Democrats are doing, it's going to tighten up because we're getting past Lover's Day, which is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day. And once we get over that hump, before you know it, it's March, and then there's still that March 2 election day, and what is it going to look like? Ultimately, I say this all the time, it's a good time to remind everyone, if you don't like what's happening in this country, for goodness sake, just vote. You should vote anyway because you feel like you did something. We live in an ultimately a free, amazing country. I know I'm proud to be an American as I used to walk by the cobbled streets of Philadelphia all the time and the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall, and came from a family with that deep history and appreciation for living in this country. And I hope you all feel the same way, even if you're frustrated as hell at some of the nonsense and going back and forth from the politics on the Hill, especially the last month. Don't let that sour your love for the country and your love for democratic elections, because the more people that get involved in the process locally, statewide, and nationally, the happier you'll be with the results. It's we the people. Never, ever forget it's we the people. I think too often you feel like the little guy and you have no stake, no say, no anything in what's happening in the government, and that couldn't be further from the truth, because the more people that are involved, the better. The better. So I want a president who's going to come up with a solution to the arduous tax system that we have. The dreaded three letters, IRS. I'm for a flat tax. I've said that before. Anything to look at a different way to handle what happens with taxes. You know, they have these clever commercials on the air. They had them during the Super Bowl. They have them all over the place. If you plop in front of a tube for any amount of time, you see them about how can we, you know, deliver babies. And they talk about these amazing things people do. And yet, you got this. How can you not do your taxes, turbo taxes? But then you talk to people who have been audited. And then you understand what it's like to have that happen and how difficult some of the processes can be, especially if you're a solopreneur or some form of an entrepreneur. It's different. One job, one W-2, no sweat usually. But anything else, it is just a little bit trickier. So it's interesting because there are free file tax programs, but mostly people don't use them. In fact, there was a newly released audit by the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration and blamed it on complexity, confusion, and lack of taxpayer awareness for the miserable participation rates associated with FreeFile, a program that you can take advantage of at IRS.gov. This or that, hang around for it next.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
iPhone and stop tweeting. I think he's going back and forth with at the real Donald Trump, or no, the fake Donald Trump. I'm not sure, but I think he's checking his Twitter anyway. We all have that addiction, right? So Eric, the technical maestro for this show, joins us on stage now for This or That.
Hey, I don't have that addiction, by the way.
You don't? No tweeting?
No, no way.
You have the conversation addiction because you got distracted earlier by that bad dude, Alex, I think. Right?
I have the problem where I can't tell someone to stop talking to me.
I love that. You can't set boundaries. That's what we call it in motivational speaking.
Yep, I have that.
All right, I have a white paper. I'm going to send you that. I'm going to help you with the boundary problem. So you're probably like the guy that the ice cream is melting in your hand when someone's telling you. And another thing, Eric, and another thing, I have to tell you some more. And the ice cream is just dripping down your hand.
I just
have
to take it. Yep.
I'm going to show you how to set boundaries. All right, so I know we have a special drummer in the house. It's not Questlove, but it's somebody else in the house for this segment, right, don't we?
I think so.
Nice. By the way, I heard this drummer could go all night, like 10 hours straight.
Yeah,
he's got the action going on.
He's about 30 minutes in.
All right, Mr. Drummer, you can turn down your roll, at least for a few minutes. So we start this or that with angel hair or thick spaghetti. Which do you prefer?
Angel hair.
Me too. Mr. and Mrs., single dudes, people listening, I mean, who doesn't like spaghetti? And maybe there's some of you who don't like spaghetti. I don't like thick spaghetti, so there are places that you go. There's a place called Buca de Pepos, and a lot of people like it, and it's cool. Manchore likes it because just the ambiance of it, and you can even sit in the kitchen, that whole thing. But it drives me nuts. They have no angel hair. I like want to buy a case of it and just give it to them because they just don't do that. They have thick spaghetti, and that's it. So I do think there's like a debate over that. I think some people like thick spaghetti, period. That's how they like their spaghetti. I like you, Eric, I like it thin. I just like the way it tastes. I think it tastes better. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I can't really... I don't know why. It just does.
Yeah, it's the way it's the texture thing. So we have that same thing about texture and how the texture tastes. Because to me, you know, look, there's all kinds of noodles, but I don't want some giant noodle. That's a stroganoff to me. And you're there in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, they got great German joints. That's different if you're going to go have those kind of egg noodles versus spaghetti. So that's how I feel. All right, video game binge or a Netflix binge? If you had the choice between the two, what would you pick?
I don't play video games very much, so I'd go with Netflix.
All right, Netflix. Have you binged on Netflix?
Lately, it's been glitchy. I don't know if it's just for me or what, but I tried watching, what's it called, Better Call Saul?
Yeah.
Yeah, that new season came out. I've been trying to watch that a little bit.
Better Call Saul. I like binging on Netflix too. If I'm gonna watch something, I get interested in it. Like Goliath, Billy Bob Thornton was in that. I hope it's not Amazon, but streaming anyway. I'm all about that. You know, it's interesting you say that. There's been glitches. There's a woman, I do a thing called Her Story. Her name's Ann Aaron, and she's in charge of she's the director. This is like a title. She's the director of algorithms at Netflix, and there's 137 million viewers plus who subscribe to the service. So she's in charge of keeping the choppy or pixelated pictures away because, you know, bandwidth and broadband, all that whole stuff, obviously the same thing. That can be challenging in some countries, but it shouldn't be when you're sitting there somewhere in a suburb in Minneapolis. We might have to contact Ms. Aaron, the director of algorithms, and find out why you are having problems with that. But I'm like you. I'm not a video game person per se. I mean, I've played video games. I'm not anti-video game, but I would never be a binger. And in fact, in my house, I don't have any video game setup anymore. So it would have to be I'd be someplace else, you know, playing the Madden game or something. All right, for chores, taking out the trash or doing the dishes, which do you prefer?
I'm the dishwasher in my relationship.
So she drags the heavy trash out?
It's a small trash can. So.
Does it have wheels?
No.
In the snow and ice, she goes out to her half a mile behind the house?
Oh, no. Our trash dumpster thing is in the garage, right outside the door.
Uh-huh.
So,
so
I, So I'm the one who wheels it out there, but she puts the trash in the bin.
Oh, so that's like, so you do a couple things. So you're, wow, doing the dishes, that is an A++ for a man to do the dishes.
I thought that was like the requirement for a good husband or boyfriend. I thought that was the I don't know.
It is. At least loading the dishwasher correctly would be one of them for sure, especially if she cooks. I think if one person cooks, the other person should clean. That seems fair to me. Because here's the thing. Usually you're whipped, and then you don't feel like doing the dishes. So it is good. If any of you guys out there that are single, if you do the dishes and you do it with glee, like you're not crabby and smashing them around, you get... Eric's right. You would get high points for that. Absolutely. All right. How about this? Clothes shopping online, or do you actually go to the stores? Which do you do?
I like to go in the stores and try stuff on.
Yeah, me too. I'm not like a huge shopper. I'm not like a mall rat. You have the Mall of America, that giant monstrosity in Minneapolis. It's cool, but oh my gosh, it's so big. But I think you have to try it on, because I don't know the sizes. Half the time I'm a smaller size than I thought, or whatever, or bigger. I don't know. So I'm not online. Most people I know, though, are online. They'd rather go online than get in the car. So we have that in common, too. I just have to pack my patience when I go and try things on.
Plus, it's easier to return them, too.
Yes. It's way easier to return them. All right, beer or wine. If you only have the choice of one, they don't have hard liquor, you're out somewhere with your posse or your babe. Beer or wine, which do you take?
That one's easy, beer.
Me too, beer. What's your favorite beer?
Depends on how I'm doing. On a bad day, I'll get a ice cold IPA, strong IPA.
I like that on a bad day. Okay, so since I'm getting in shape, I've been Michelob Ultra, but I like Amstel Light too. We're going back to Ireland, they have Guinness for people listening, and that's a heavier beer, and I can do that, but a wine is too like tart or something for me. I don't like it as much anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of sour sometimes.
Yeah, soury or something. And you wake up funny afterwards, so I don't like it. All right, this is a big one for me. Umbrella or whatever you can find to hold over your head. Are you like, you know it's going to rain, do you have an umbrella with you in the car or whatever? Or is it like, whatever, just throw your hood up?
I hate umbrellas. I always break them
somehow. No umbrella.
Yeah, I would rather just wear a hood or something.
Yeah, that's me too. Most women would probably have an umbrella, but watch, half the time I don't know what the weather's going to be. If I have an umbrella and it's, of course, really wickedly bad outside, I would use it. And the hubs, man sure is good about sticking them in the car for me. But a lot of times I'm struggling trying to find them. All right, final one, tea or coffee?
It depends on the situation, but I would mostly coffee.
Yep, me too. Coffee. I am a coffee connoisseur, but I don't like the foofy espresso. I mean, it's okay, but I want to have a real cup of coffee, so I like coffee, and I don't like the unleaded variety. Forget it. Eric, great job as always. A lot of fun. Some things to think about, people. You probably fall into some of these same categories. Stay with us.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at gcnlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at gcnlife.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
There's a military flyover in Florida at the Daytona 500 where President Trump, the Grand Marshal.
Fans will scream and the great American race will begin. For 500 heart-pounding miles, these fierce competitors will chase the checkered flag.
He speaks to the crowd with wife Melania by his side and then takes a historic lap around the track in the Beast, his bulletproof black presidential limo. He also asks the folks at NASCAR for a radio and speaks directly to the drivers. Listen.
Drivers, this is President Trump, and it was an honor to open the Daytona 500. Have a phenomenal day. Have a great race. Be safe. God bless you. We love you.
Now, due to the weather, the race called off. Instead, it's scheduled for Monday afternoon. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
That I love poetry. My father, who died when I was 8, was a poet, and luckily I was the subject of many of his poems, and that was sort of his legacy that he left behind for me, and I had a chance to, as a small child, understand that because he would read some of them to me. Somebody else who realizes the connection to loss and grief and what is then there and left behind for so many others is Thomas Vollmer. He joins us now. He's written a book called From the Fabric of My Mind. Thomas, thanks so much for joining us on Author's Corner.
Sure, no problem. Glad to be here.
So let's go back to the beginning of this. What you've written poetry off and on for a long time. Is it kind of like a love affair with poetry? Like you get excited and you write it and then you kind of walk away from it? How did that interest start?
Well, I started writing poetry in about 1981. I thought I was going to be a writer at that time. And my path took me a different route than being a writer, but around 1990, I started writing poetry again. And more recently, I've been writing for maybe 10, 15 years, about 2000, now maybe longer than that, 2000, on poetry off and on, but I've been more into writing poetry because I'm in a poetry group on Facebook called FM Poetry. So a lot of times I write the poems and I post them on that Facebook page that they have there, their Facebook site. But this is my first published poetry book, and I'm sure I have plenty of poems that maybe in the future I might decide to publish another one. I'm always writing them. I have a good friend who has helped me to improve, you know, how I write now, because her writing is so well done and inspiring, and a lot of her short poems are on plaques and things all over the world.
Yeah, tell us who your friend is, because she's rather famous.
Yeah, Mania Khan. She's from Bangladesh.
Yeah, Mania Khan. And you're right, many of her short poems or little pieces of it are found all over the world. So that's pretty exciting that she's looked at your stuff. Now, the poetry book that you've written, and I already said this, again, the name of it, you can get it on Amazon, of course, and many other places, but From the Fabric of My Mind, is really something that you wrote because of your wife and her, all the complications she went through with a debilitating disease and then ultimately, sadly, passing away last September. Did that help you in writing those poems?
Well, when I began writing those poems, I did not have an idea that I would be publishing a book this soon. I was just writing my feelings about what she was going through, about what I was going through with her. She had a terminal illness, passed away in September 2019. So a lot of the poems I was writing at the time were just kind of describing what I was going through and what she was going through, and the loss after she passed away as well. Some of the poems are oriented that way, but really kind of, I don't know if it's kind of celebrating her life and my love for her, and, you know, losing her at such a young age. She was only 63 when she passed away, and she went through a very long, it was very difficult. It changed me in a way, being by her bedside the most of the last month and a half of her life. When you watch someone go through something like that, it changes you inside. And a lot of the poems are a reflection of what I was going through along with her.
Yeah, I can imagine. In fact, you and I talked about a couple of them, and I wanted people to hear them, give them a sneak peek, so to speak, of what they can expect. And one of them you talked to me about was Empty Chair. Recite Empty Chair, if you would, Thomas, for us.
All right. I'll read it from my file. It's called Empty Chair. You were there. Now it's bare, your empty chair. Joyous laughter filled the room, loud and boisterous like thunder, echoing off mountainsides in a deep valley, no longer there but an empty chair. Your sweet smile, so radiant and joyful, emanated from your soul, pristine and unsullied. I would drink in your smile like waters from an artesian well, pure and sweet, brought comfort, virtuous and affectionate. Like young love cuddling in the corner of innocent minds when you were here, when we were young. Now there's only your empty chair. You brought solace to my soul, tormented by storms of life. Cleansing power of your love made me feel fresh and alive when I drew near you. Could feel you, could see you. Now all that's left is your empty chair. Tears streak down my cheeks, gathering up puddles at my feet. Like torrential rains on the desert floor, my heart desolate, I wander alone in a barren wilderness. Bleak and disconsolate, I hear the lonely coyote howl. Hairs rise upon my neck like a mourner listening to a dirge. Emanates from my throat, lost in paroxysm of pain, because there stands only your empty chair.
Wow.
And the end of the poem.
Wow, so well done. Thank you for reading that for us. And it just conjures up all kinds of images. And the key is, too, you are celebrating, and you can, you know, you see, hear the loneliness in that poem, but you are celebrating her life as well in this poetry book. And certainly you're a widower, but you're also a father and a grandfather, and this is tough for everyone to fill the void and fill the space. Do you feel like this is a book also like a legacy for them, because they can really, you know, feel and understand your wife?
Well, I hope it is. I hope they can see. I told them that a lot of the poems in the book were about her and celebrating her life and my love for her, and they each had a copy. I made sure they each got a copy of it, but I hope they get a sense of who their grandmother was and who their mother was and what she meant to me. She left a huge hole in all of our lives. She was so influential to us. She was so such an inspiration. She faced each day up into her death with such courage and with such strength that she wasn't worried about herself. She was worried about others. And she cared about others and she loved others. And there were so many people whose lives she touched, not just within the family, but friends and coworkers and people at her work. She was so influential in my life as well. And going through this process of being by her bedside to the end and seeing her pass away at the very end was, like I said earlier, it changed me. It made me more sensitive to appreciation for life and what we have to live for.
Wow, so well said. What do you hope people take that away from reading this book of poems? Do you think that's what you would like to leave to other people who didn't know your wife?
Yeah, I would. I would like them to know that they're not alone and they're suffering. We all have trials, we all have tribulations, we all have difficulties in life. We all struggle. None of us are free of those things. And if you're not going through struggles right now, wait, and you'll end up, I'm sure, going through some kind of trial or some kind of tribulation. We're all human. We all suffer. We all mourn. We all need to be comforted at times. We all need to send, strength from other sources. And I think this can help people deal with their sense of loss, but can be a comfort as well as a strength to let them know that, I have gone through something similar to what a lot of people go through when they lose a loved one. And but there's other poems in there that as well with the philosophical and spiritual connotation that might be inspirational, I hope. I hope somebody, people are inspired by some of the poems and comforted by them.
Yep. I love it. So well said. Thomas Fulmer, the book is called From the Fabric of My Mind. Thank you so much. And, boy, pick it up and feel connected and inspired. We appreciate it.
Sure. Let me mention also that I have a children's book named Rosalind, the Reluctant Rattlesnake, both in a illustrated version and in a interactive coloring version.
There you go. So check that out, too, as well. The Rattlesnake. I love that. Rosalind the Rattlesnake. Thanks so much, Thomas.
Okay, thanks, Kate. It was good talking with you. I hope people can find my book valuable in their lives to help them in their struggles and realize their divine potential.
There you go. That's a great sentiment. Thank you.
Thank you.
shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Well, we head to our author's corner. This time around, Lita Wilson Parker joins us. She's written a book called Cap Rock, a novel. So interesting. I had a great conversation with her off the air. And pleased to have you meet her on the air. Hey, Lita, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you and I talked about writing. We talked about your book. It was so fascinating because so many people, you and I both know this, you meet people and they say, oh, you know, I want to write a book. And then you see them a decade later, they want to write a book. And another decade later, they want to write a book. But you did it. Was that like such a proud moment for you when you sat down and you started writing?
Well, yes, it was. It was kind of my testament to the fact that I had a lifelong goal to do it. And goals and dreams are wonderful and great, but it's what you focus on that happens.
Mm.
And it was my testament to that. You know, it was that finally going, you know what, I've always wanted to do this, but you got to sit down and do it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I like that.
It was just sort of my testament to that, that it's important that you, if you have a passion and you have a desire, you know, don't just dream about it, you know, do it.
Yeah, and you know what? And you did it. And so you did it, and then you put together Cap Rock, and the cover's beautiful. And you and I talked about horse country and what that meant to you. So explain what the book is about.
Well, the book is basically the story of three people that start out as companions and cohorts as young children, riding horses and competing and living the dream. And the book continues on into their later lives and has a lot of twists and turns and turns into a triangle. And the characters have a lot of depth in them. I think people will find themselves in the characters. That's what I hear from a lot of the readers that have read the book, is that it's all about those secret things that we have inside of us that nobody knows about, and how we deal with them and cope with them in our daily lives and our long lives.
Yeah, that's true. You and I talked about that, too. So in weaving the characters together, did you come up with a favorite character for you, or do you like them all for different reasons?
I loved all three of them, maybe because I created them. They're, you know, they become like your babies.
Yeah.
And I loved all three of them because I think they all three are very strong. That's kind of where the title comes from, Caprock, to the point where they become enablers at some point during the book. But I identified with all of them in the fact that they were strong, but yet they had these human frailties that we all have. And it's just kind of interesting to see how, to me, the different twists and turns in the books, how they work their lives out one way or the other.
Yeah. For you, when you sat down and we go back to the writing process and you start to let this pour out, and obviously you weave in some things you know about other people or even some of your personality traits, was it fun once you finished the whole thing and could look back at it?
Yes. I actually, it was kind of a split. I was very glad to get it done. I'm a slow writer. I absorb things and as I go through life and put them into the book. When, you know, I'm writing a second book right now. It should be out this year. And it just takes me a while because I kind of just absorb as day goes by. But the end of it, I missed them. I missed the characters. I missed having them in my mind and watching what they did and figuring out what they were going to do next. And I missed the character. I guess that's why I ended up writing a second book. And I've heard from readers, too, that one of the things is they wanted to finish the book because they wanted to see what's going to happen next. But then they didn't want to finish it because they didn't want to see it end. So that's kind of a really nice compliment to have on the book, and that's how I felt about it.
Yeah, that's a huge compliment. And I said that the cover is beautiful, and you talk about the geological formation that's known as a caprock, and I've seen caprock, and it separates East Texas from the West. And you talked about the strength of that, and so you put a lot of your Texas roots into it, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Both on both sides of the caprock. Caprock kind of had a couple of meanings in the book. One meaning was don't let things get in your way in your life. That goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, figure out what you love and what makes you happy, and don't let it be a caprock. Cross that caprock. And then the other meaning in the book is that a caprock is actually a stronger rock that is covering a weaker rock. And I'll just let that lie just like that as to how that might work in a human relationship.
Oh, I like that. So I want to tell everybody you can get a Kindle edition, you can get a paperback hardcover, Caprock, Lita Wilson Parker. You can get that Amazon.com. That's where, you know, people go. You can snap it up there. What about family and friends? What did they say after you did the book? Because we know that people have come back to you and they wanted that second book, so you put that together. But what did your family say?
Well, of course, they were proud and amazed that, and they were tired of the book, too, because quite often I was in there on that computer when they, you know, wanted me to do something else. And I don't think anyone truly believed that a book would emerge. I think they thought that I was just hammering away and would continue to hammer. And so, again, it all goes back to taking a dream or taking a goal or, you know, whatever label you want to put on it and making it happen. And we're all capable of doing that. You just got to do it.
Yeah, I like how you said that. It is about the action, ultimately. Just give us a little sneak of your second book.
My second book is, all my book or my writings are based on the backsplash of horses and barns and the people who care for them and the actual care of the horses. I don't think people really realize that are non-horse people what's involved in the horse world. And so I try to bring that as the backsplash. And then I guess if I had to pick just a major theme in the second book, it's about the friendship between two women. It's about two women who run a barn and the deep friendship that two women can have, that being able to have each other's back and to depend on each other and to be there for each other. I think that's a friendship that's quite often overlooked, how strong it can be between two women and what they can do together and accomplish together. And it's got some love involved in it, some love story involved in it. All my stories are going to have love stories involved.
And I like that, love stories. I'm thinking right away Hallmark is popping up in my head. I love it.
Well, I'm the second book should be out very shortly. It's called Silence on the Hill. It does have a dark side to it. It does have dark characters in it. But I'm beginning my third book, and it's going to be a love story between a Texas cowboy and an Egyptian equestrian. I'm going to Egypt in April, or going back to Egypt, I should say, in April to do some research, and that will be my third book. So I'm just kind of bubbling with all these stories and letting it come out and excited about it. And I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you and tell you about it. It's always fun to talk about your books.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you hope people take away from Caprock?
Well, back to what I said in the very beginning. If you have a passion, let this be a symbol that someone else had a passion and they made it happen, and you can too. And then I just want them to enjoy it. It's a good chick book. It's a good beach book. It's a good getaway escape book. And I think the characters stay with you because of the depth and the frailties, the failings, and the successes they have. And I just hope you'll remember the book and remember the characters and
read it.
And read it.
yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, and enjoy it. All right, Caprock, again, Lita Wilson Parker. You can get it on Amazon.com. Thank you so much, Lita.
Thank you, Kate. I do appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.